Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. It is Tuesday, the 29th day of March, 2011. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to have Nigel Farage, a member of the European Union Parliament, joining us, who has excoriated the head of the EU, Herman Van Rompuy, for just back in December, just 3.5 months ago, hanging out with Muammar Gaddafi. And the fact that the West has armed Gaddafi, obviously we've seen Obama's speech. The media is hailing Obama and the administration as the ones that initiated the rebels, which is actually true. The rebels are Al-Qaeda led, just like they used Al-Qaeda against the Serbs, just like they used Al-Qaeda against the Russians, just like they used Al-Qaeda against the American people, so they could destroy the Republic and try to take all of our liberties, stealing them away as fast as they can and converting our once free republic to this panopticon police state. So that is all coming up after the break. Then when Nigel Farage leaves us at the bottom of the hour, I will shift into the biggest news. And I am, of course, proud of the fact that we had this out in the Western media first yesterday at prisonplanet.com. Meltdown: plutonium found in soil and the water as well at Fukushima as cover-up continues. Steve Watson, that was out at noon yesterday. Deadly radioactive water leaking into soil and the ocean. It was in the Japanese news, but they hadn't made a big deal out of it yet. Well, now today, AFP, Associated Press, Japan on maximum alert over nuclear plant. Japan said today it is on maximum alert over a crippled nuclear plant where highly radioactive water, 100,000 times safe levels, has halted repair work. It's so deadly that if you spend 5 hours in there, you get 5,000 millisieverts, which the Washington Post reported will kill very quickly roughly half the people that come in contact with it. It's so radioactive that if you get around it for 5 hours, you've got a 50-50 chance of it killing you in just a few days or weeks. And obviously those that survive are going to have big problems. So they've had to halt repair work there. You've got five of the six reactors that have either exploded or been on fire or are still smoking. And this is pretty much out of the news now. You see some reportage on it, but it's like, oh, that's in Japan. What are we worried about? And we have these reactors built by the same people, General Electric, 23 of the exact same MOX Mark I reactors. Alone, the earthquake and tsunami that ravaged Japan's northeast coast left around 28,000 dead or missing, also knocked out reactor cooling systems at the Fukushima plant, which has leaked radiation into the air and sea. The prime minister conceded the situation at the coastal atomic power station remained unpredictable and pledged his government would tackle the problem while in a state of maximum alert. Maximum alert. So they're in maximum crisis. Right now, in a stopgap measure to contain the crisis at the plant, which they haven't contained, crews have poured thousands of tons of water onto the reactors where fuel rods are thought to have partially melted. That happened 2 weeks ago, and topped up pools of spent fuel rods. But the runoff of the operation has accumulated in the basements of the turbine rooms connected to three reactors and filled up tunnels, making it too risky for workers to go near the repair cooling systems needed to stabilize the plant. You saw all those giant explosions. We told you a week and a half ago when they were trying to get power back in there. You saw those huge mushroom clouds and explosions. Fox News is still rolling footage of the plant before it ever had a problem. Like, oh, look, it's happy. Birds are tweeting and singing. The place is a complete disaster zone with hundreds of thousands of spent fuel rods thrown all over the place. Radioactive plutonium-laced water and uranium-laced water, with a bunch of other isotopes running into the ocean and the aquifer under it. It's just absolute bedlam. We'll go to Libya when we come back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Japan has now announced via their prime minister maximum alert uranium plutonium getting in to the groundwater supply, 100,000 times safe levels, 1,000 millisieverts an hour, 5 hours of that, the Washington Post radiologist expert reported, will roughly kill half the people within just a few weeks that come in contact with it. Just amazing information that's coming up at the end of our interview with Nigel Farage, a British politician, former leader of the UK Independence Party, current member of the European Union Parliament, from Southeast England. UKIP.org is the UK Independence Party website. It's kind of like the Ron Paul version of the anti-New World Order crowd over in England. Great folks. And Nigel Farage, I noticed last week, excoriated Herman Van Rompuy. We're going to play a clip of that coming up. The head of the EU, for back in December, holding hands and hugging on Muammar Gaddafi. And we've seen countless other European and American politicians over there saying he was our gallant little ally the last 6 years after former British Prime Minister at the time, Tony Blair, made deals with him. It's now in the London Telegraph, Associated Press, New York Times, that yes, the main contingent attacking Gaddafi from the east is Al-Qaeda. But it's the good Al-Qaeda, we're told. And if you're not for Al-Qaeda now, you're anti-freedom. So just absolutely amazing. And to break this down from the European Union perspective, on the heels of Barack Obama's speech, the Washington Post hailing Obama for basically quietly initiating the rebels and giving them the green light. British SAS on the ground, we now learn, for over a month. It is confirmed 2,200 Marines preparing to ground invade. But it's not a war. It's kinetic military action. And if it's a ground invasion, it's part of a humanitarian assistance. So this is not a war, Nigel Farage, is it?
I'm afraid it could well be a war. You know, we've started something here. We've no idea where it's going to end. I mean, this idea that Gaddafi's a bad man. Look, Gaddafi's been a bad man for 42 years. But as you quite rightly say, 6 years ago, Mr. Blair went and hugged him, and Mr. Berlusconi's been to meet him as well, and our British commissioner in Europe, Peter Mandelson, went pheasant shooting with his son. I mean, we welcomed this guy in to the fold. We treated him as a friend and an ally. And as recently as December, the president of the European Union was there, you know, holding hands and being all matey with him. And now we're being told, and Herman Van Rompuy and the British government and the French government are saying, this is all about regime change. We've got to get rid of Gaddafi, and we are actively, militarily supporting the rebels without having had a clue from the start who the rebels are or what their motivations are. Now, if this is for humanitarian reasons, who is to say that if the rebels get to Tripoli, that they won't massacre Gaddafi's people? I mean, I just think we've got into something here. We haven't thought it through. It's not part of a bigger North African and Middle East strategy, and I seriously regret our actions so far.
Well, it's confirmed that they lied and said through the British Foreign Ministry that he'd run to Venezuela to destabilize. It's confirmed that he didn't run to Zimbabwe. It's confirmed that that he was not strafing crowds of people, and they were actually armed groups. But we're not saying Gaddafi's a good guy. The point here is we've been told a lot of lies. And as you pointed out, mainline, even BBC, has admitted that the rebels in the east are just grabbing people and lining them up and shooting their political enemies. And so this whole line about, oh, we've got to do this for humanitarian reasons, what's the real reason? You're in the EU Parliament. I mean, is this about a political distraction from what's happening?
Well, you've got to remember that as far as the European Union's concerned, we are in very, very deep crisis over here. Already in the space of the last year, we've had to bail out Greece, whose presence in the euro wasn't working. We've had to bail out the Irish, and we are within days, I would suspect, of having to bail out Portugal, with the bigger worry that the Spanish economy, which is about seven times the size of the Irish one, may need bailing out too. We're literally running out of money in the European Union to keep this crazy single currency project going. And I think it's been all through the years, a marvellous thing for leaders when they're in real trouble and when public support is waning to head off and have foreign military adventures. And so I do see this, as much as anything else, as a diversionary tactic, as an attempt to whip up jingoistic support for our boys going into Libya and doing the right thing. And initially, they appeared to have got away with it. I suspect, as you say, because they were telling us a pack of lies. But now, I mean, so much so, when the British Parliament, when the House of Commons had a vote on this, only 13 MPs out of 650 voted against military action. Such was that sort of lemming-like support amongst our politicians for this enterprise. But I suspect that now, today's report, that there is a presence of Al-Qaeda amongst the rebels, the reports that actually, both sides have committed atrocities and they will probably get worse as time goes on. I think that politicians that have launched us into this, thinking it'll increase their popularity, if we're going to send in ground troops as well, who's to say we're not getting ourselves into yet another Afghanistan? And I think politically this decision will backfire very badly on them.
Well, I agree with you, but now we have Senator Lieberman and others saying this sets a precedent that any time people rebel in a country, whether it's a good country, bad, whatever, that now the UN will pass a resolution, and in less than 48 hours, the U.S. military was firing cruise missiles, NATO members were dropping bombs, England and France and others. I mean, this is incredible that our Congress, I mean, at least in England, you guys, had a vote on it. Our Congress, I know the UK Independence Party is always talking about how 70%+ of the laws that govern England now, you don't even get to vote on in the British Parliament.
No.
Well, here, Obama didn't even consult Congress when the law says they've got to give a declaration of war, or at least an authorization of force, and our own Congress barely even batted an eye at becoming vestigial or ceremonial.
Well, I mean, you are being very badly let down, aren't you, by your congressmen? I mean, they should be standing up and screaming and shouting. Their job is to represent people. Their job is to represent the democratic will. Their job is to have a check and a balance on the executive. And they're clearly, in America right at the moment, totally failing in their duty. And, this idea that we've got to support rebellions wherever they may be. I mean, is anybody seriously suggesting that if there's a major uprising in Saudi Arabia and the Saudis shoot a couple of hundred, that we're going to start bombing Saudi Arabia? I mean, are we about to launch our own version of jihad against every regime, every Arab state? I mean, it's absolutely insane. And I cannot for the life of me. I mean, we've been in Afghanistan for over 10 years. There is no end in sight whatsoever. I cannot believe the public opinion will put up in Britain, America, or France with us getting involved in a whole series of military conflicts across the Middle East. I think the whole thing is absolutely crazy.
Well, you're pointing out how just wild and out of control this is, this new military adventurism, but it's being hailed all over the European papers, U.S. papers, British papers, as the New World Order, that this is the new cover for, I guess, globalist imperialism, is that they quietly finance rebellions, they use Al-Qaeda, they tell us Al-Qaeda's now good, right out of 1984, and now they're saying, yes, rise up against your government, and we'll do a no-fly zone. They're openly debating in our news, all over the news channels, how we need to go ahead and attack Syria. I mean, this is starting to look like the makings of bigger than a regional war. This looks like how World War One or World War Two started.
Well, it's odd, isn't it? You never quite know what will catalyze a bigger conflict. What I do know is that, when World War One started and World War Two started, the massive populations in the countries supported the basic aims of the war, all right? Now, the point about this is, whatever the media are saying, whatever the mainstream media are saying, whatever our politicians in Westminster are voting for, however much your congressmen bury their own heads in the sand, there was an opinion poll out in Britain this morning that that showed 7 out of 10 Britons are very worried about the Libyan adventure and deeply concerned that we shouldn't get ourselves further embroiled. So I just don't believe there's public support for this. And, you know, there comes a break point with this, doesn't there? I mean, governments can get away with a hell of a lot. They can lie to us, they can rob us, they can do all sorts of things. But in the end, they have to have consent of some kind. Otherwise, what we're going to see are rebellions of our own in our own countries, and people will take to the streets and say, we do not wish to get embroiled in regional or possibly even global conflict.
Well, that's my next point. A member of European Union Parliament, Nigel Farage, former leader of the UK Independence Party in England. Look, we have 30 million illegal aliens in this country. The Marxist Ford Foundation universities do teach the Southwest, bought from Mexico, from Texas to California, is owned by Mexico. There are open calls for rebellion. I know there's giant immigrant populations in Europe that routinely burn large areas to the ground. What would happen under this new UN precedent if they rose up and began burning cities? Would we then see the Russians or the Chinese under the UN, who are members, come here into a no-fly zone and attack us? Now, obviously, that's absurd, but that's the precedent that's being set here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right, and I think that, I mean, we have some very large Muslim populations in European countries. Mercifully, the vast majority of them are absolutely peaceful and democratic, but we have got some very dangerous minorities. My feeling is that by going to war in the Middle East, all we are likely to do is to give the extremists an excuse. And so you could see two types of demonstration going on in these countries. Firstly, you could see, as you say, Muslim extremists, you know, getting back. And we shouldn't forget that the last time we bombed the Colonel back in the mid-80s, it wasn't very long before a 747 landed on the village of Lockerbie.
Tell you what, stay there. Final segment, Nigel Farage back in just a few minutes. That's the next point I want to cover. The media is saying, oh, Gaddafi may attack us. Then they'll use that to take more of our liberty. Okay, we've only got 5 minutes left with UK member of the EU Parliament, Nigel Farage. By the way, the Liberty Movement, I was just talking to him during the break, is exploding all over Europe, and not just England. Their party is expanding. Back on May 6th of last year, a horrible, devastating plane crash. The pilot barely survived. Nigel was torn up really bad, but he's back. I tell you, talk about stiff upper lip. Nigel, finishing up with the terror card. They've said, yes, we're bombarding Gaddafi and blowing up infrastructure. And if he fights back in any way, it's terrorism. And they're talking about that legitimizing a ground invasion if there's any type of terror attack. I wonder if some groups might allow crazies to do something or might open the door. Who knows?
Well, they do seem to be very keen to put in ground troops, don't they?
Yes.
You know, I mean, we've already had the SAS there for some time. That we know for a fact. We've got the British Royal Marines getting ready to go. You've got a corps getting ready to go. It's almost as if our governments are looking for an excuse to put in ground troops. And I think, you know, I mean, I really feel that we have got to put pressure on our politicians, real pressure on our politicians. And I think if there's any prospect of some major escalation of us getting involved in a huge, huge conflict across the Middle East, we got to take to the streets. We got to take to the streets, millions of us, and we got to march. And we've got to say, "Not in my name." We do not give consent for endless war and endless conflict. Especially because whether it's, you know, Al Qaeda and the rebels or Gaddafi, I mean, they may both be as bad as each other, and clearly, it's not in our national interest to get involved in these conflicts.
Well, we're now hearing from Obama and others that this is a great moment for globalism, for the New World Order, where the UN gives the orders and our militaries go in. I mean, is this not more of this expansion of undemocratic power similar to how the EU runs England?
Yes, it is a classic case of what we call the beneficial crisis. Whenever there's a crisis, it's used by big government, it's used by supranational global government as an excuse to say, look, we're doing the right thing, and to take more powers and to further rob us of our democracy. This, perhaps what is happening now, looks like the most extreme example of it that we've had to date, and we've got to resist. As I said earlier, we've got to take to the streets. We've got to withdraw our democratic consent from politicians who are not prepared to stand up and fight this.
Well, noticed a few weeks ago, Obama didn't even want to give a speech or comment on Libya, and they reported that he had to give this speech last night, and it was, quote, a hard sell because people aren't for it. Then I saw a Reuters poll claiming that 60-plus percent supported it, but then I read the poll. It just asked, you know, what option you thought they should use in war. It didn't even let people have a decision to say no.
Yeah, well, as I say, overnight in Britain, there's a poll out been conducted by one of our TV channels showing that 7 out of 10 people in Britain are deeply worried and want no further escalation. And I would reckon that's a pretty accurate opinion poll amongst ordinary people. Sadly, amongst our so-called mainstream media and politicians, that message hasn't yet got through. It's got to.
Now, Nigel, I'm going to put on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, for radio listeners, they can just search the term Herman Van Rompuy, Muammar Gaddafi, and they'll see the photos of the hugging and the shaking hands and the rest of it. But politicians in England and other countries that were cozy to Hitler early on, they were excoriated and removed or just resigned. But we're not seeing resignations by Labour Party that's been lavishing Gaddafi in England. We're not seeing any of these EU pimps like Sarkozy or Rumpy stepping down. In fact, they're grandstanding and quite proud of the fact that just months ago they were lip-locked with him. I mean, are you calling for them to resign?
I am. Of course I am. I mean, I think their hypocrisy beggars belief. But, you know, sometimes these things take a bit longer. I mean, your comment about Hitler is, of course, right. I mean, virtually the entire upper class of Britain were taken in by Herr Hitler, thought he was absolutely wonderful. The BBC thought he was terrific. Our king even went to visit him. Our parliament thought he was wonderful. And Churchill, Winston Churchill, at about 20... backbench members of parliament were derided as being insane, eccentric, warmongers. In the end, they were right. And in the end, the bad guys lost their jobs. And I think the same is going to happen again. It just may take a little bit longer than we'd like.
Well, the comparison is certainly there. I mean, if they're going to say Gaddafi's this devil, but then be prancing around with him just months ago, they need to resign. I mean, this is outrageous.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is sickening. Hypocrisy in every way. At the moment, they are being allowed to get away with it. And I look at our mainstream news channels across here, and nobody is asking the right questions. It's all being presented on our TV screens as if we're doing some wonderful social good. The rebels are the good guys. Gaddafi's the bad guy. As we've learned today, it isn't as simple as that. And again, you know, to get change, we've got to be prepared to stand up and shout.
Absolutely. UKIP.org. Nigel Farage, member of European Parliament. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll be back, folks.
Devastating globalist lies, exposing the mainstream media's propaganda machine, tirelessly waging war on corruption. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6 in Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, we're here live. Back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Central as well. The websites are prisonplanet.tv. PrisonPlanet.com, the news site, Infowars.com, the news site as well. Now, that was our only guest for the day, UK Member of Parliament Nigel Farage, UK European Union Member of Parliament Nigel Farage, with that key information. Now, I want to go over what's happened in Libya, what this means for global government, what the clear strategy and deceptive stratagem and gambit is designed to do. After I play Senator Rand Paul's response to Obama last night, then I'm going to shift gears into the nuclear disaster, Japan on maximum alert, confirming the news that came out 2 days ago of 100,000 times safe levels of radioactivity coming out, getting into the groundwater of Japan. And the evacuation of many areas of Japan is accelerating. The U.S. military is quietly trying to force many Americans out of Japan. They are covering up. I mean, it's coming out in the mainstream media, but they're not focusing on it. and they're announcing how critical it is, but then not pointing out to the general public and not giving the attention to it that it deserves. They're just calmly talking about it like it's no big deal. And it's a huge, huge issue to the economy, to the Japanese people, to not just the economy of Japan, but worldwide. I've got a lot of police state news. I've got globalist bid to ban cars as part of Plantopolis agenda. They're already teaching school kids in Europe and the U.S. that they're going to ban cars soon. The head of the transportation department last year did say in the New York Times that cars are the enemy, that all these agendas are anti-car, that they do want to increase fuel prices, that they do want to shut down our coal-powered system, so we're completely dependent on the globalist. Obama pushing to legalize the illegal aliens and continue the North American Union merger. The feds are moving to throw out Jesse Ventura's lawsuit against the TSA. He is scheduled to be on next week. We need to double confirm that because he's just now about to get back to the U.S. from Mexico. All of that is coming up, and in the second and third hour today, we're going to have wide open telephones, but I don't want you to have to sit there on hold. At the start of the next hour, I will give the number out. Everybody's welcome to call in then with any item, any news story, anything you wish to discuss. But I wanted to, before I go into some of Obama's speech and the things he said last night, I wanted to have Senator Rand Paul, who's trying to cut the spending by $500 billion when the rest are only pushing for $100 billion, who is pushing to abolish the Federal Reserve or at least audit it, who is against these new wars, who is really proving to be a chip off the old block from his father and, quite frankly, out of the gates, an even better speaker. Very exciting to see Rand Paul and the work that he's doing. Of course, he plays along a bit with the narrative about Al-Qaeda and why are we backing Al-Qaeda. They are backing Al-Qaeda, but he's saying, well, these are the people that attacked us. Well, actually, British SAS got caught in 2006. London Guardian reported, dressed up as Al-Qaeda, shooting Shiites to get sectarian war going in Basra. Al-Qaeda was used to attack the Serbs. Al-Qaeda was used to attack, the Russians. Al-Qaeda, led by Anwar al-Awlaki, is working for the Pentagon, AP, Fox News, running all the major attacks in the U.S. and Europe. And he's always protected. Just like Rashroon Aswat, was caught and was in the major British papers being MI6 running the 7/7 attacks. See, a lot of times they have moron-level real jihadists who don't know they're working for globalists who are funding them and posing with their big beards and, you know, and their turbans and giving them the money. In other cases, they think they're taking part in anti-terror drills. They're given satchels or they're told to do drills on aircraft, and then you know the rest of the story. And that's come out time and time again. Operation Northwoods talks about how to frame patsies in bombings of U.S. cities, hijack jets, shootings that the Pentagon would carry out with troops dressed up as foreign enemies as a pretext to basically destroy the Republic. You see, look at third world countries. Look at Rome with Julius Caesar. Look at Hitler. They always use the military in the name of fighting an outside threat to take over. Burning their own Reichstag, February 27th, 1933. 1939, Gleiwitz to launch the attack on Poland. In the German documents, the Germans on the Polish border took a few prisoners out of a concentration camp, dressed them up in Polish uniforms, shot them, dressed a few up in German uniforms, shot them, and then shot newsreels at the Poles with their horse-drawn artillery had attacked the military communications base. And you know what happened next. See, people just think Hitler just attacked Poland. Go read the history. He attacked when the Poles launched a sneak attack. It's the oldest trick in the book. And the people running our country are the terrorists. They're not our government. They're not legitimate. They are doing everything they can to destroy this republic. Don't forget that. And they are sifting through the military and police ranks and corporate ranks with InfraGuard and the clergy's ranks to find people that want to be anti-American spies, terrorists, controllers for the full martial law takeover that they're setting up. And if you don't think it can't happen here, Major General Smedley Butler, two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner, who'd overthrown countless third world countries for the gunboat diplomacy system that our country had then back in the 20s and 30s, He was approached by Prescott Bush, by the Harrimans, by others. There were congressional hearings on this to lead a group of 500,000 former and current military and police who'd already been recruited to overthrow the U.S. government and merge with Hitler. You just heard Nigel Farage, member of the European Union Parliament from England, talk about the majority of the British government wanted to merge with Hitler. This was a major move. But instead, the equally bad socialists positioned themselves to then fight against Hitler when they'd actually been involved financing him from the beginning. This is the extremely sophisticated strategy of the New World Order. They call it full spectrum dominance. That doesn't just mean air, land, sea communications, but info war. But they use the weapon of lies. We use the far more powerful weapon of truth. But full spectrum dominance means controlling all sides, funding the foreign armies, funding the terrorists. It goes back to the Rothschilds and others going back over 300 years, financing both sides in every major European conflict. Who wins? They do. This is the system. And as soon as you figure that out, you understand it all. Then it makes perfect sense. Again, how long have I told you Al-Qaeda works for the West? Now they're out in the open going, yeah, they're Al-Qaeda. So what? Yeah, Saudi Arabia shipping in weapons. So what? Forget about it. Move along. Nothing to see here. All right, here is Rand Paul's a little five-minute response to Obama's ridiculous grandstanding speech. He's the big humanitarian with all these wars. Here it is.
The President of the United States often faces unforeseeable dilemmas that demand tough decisions based on reliable intelligence. The recent events in Libya presented President Obama with such a scenario, but how our Commander-in-Chief chose to handle this new dilemma raises serious questions about his understanding of constitutional checks and balances. Libyan President Muammar Gaddafi is every bit the madman Ronald Reagan once said he was, but are the rebels' adherents to Jeffersonian democracy or bin Laden's radical jihad? In 2007, then-candidate Obama said that the president does not have power under the Constitution to unilaterally authorize a military attack in a situation that does not involve stopping an actual or imminent threat to the nation. I agree with the candidate Obama. Unfortunately, President Obama has failed to heed his own advice. He has ignored our Constitution and engaged us in a military conflict without congressional debate and approval. What imminent threat did Gaddafi or Libya pose to the United States? Obviously, the decision to take military action of this magnitude is something that should not be taken lightly and should first require determining whether it is in the United States' vital national interests. Over the weekend, even Defense Secretary Robert Gates admitted that America has no vital interest in Libya. Our brave men and women in uniform are patriotic defenders of our nation. They are members of the greatest military in the world, and in times of war, I am confident of their willingness and ability to ensure that our vital interests are protected. But they should not be asked to be nation builders or the world's policemen, and they should serve in wars authorized and called for by the United States Congress, not the United Nations. At the moment, there are uprisings taking place across the Middle East. The problem with sending U.S. military to help rebels in Libya or anywhere else is that we are taking sides in a conflict and on behalf of a people whom we know nothing about. When or if there is regime change in Libya, what kind of leadership exactly will replace Gaddafi? Who are the Libyan rebels exactly? The Daily Telegraph reported over the weekend that some Libyan rebel leaders now claim they have members of Al-Qaeda within their ranks and are glad to have them. Why do we have American soldiers, our best and bravest, helping people in Libya who may be the very same people we ask our military to fight in Afghanistan and Iraq? Intervening in a civil war in a tribal society in which our government admits that we have no vital interest to help people we do not know simply does not make any sense. Libyan society is complicated, and we simply do not know enough about the potential outcomes or leaders to know if this will end up in the interest of the United States or if we are in fact helping to install a radical Islamic government in place of a secular dictatorship. Of even more lasting concern is how our troops were committed to this battle by President Obama. The Founding Fathers understood the seriousness of war and thus included in our Constitution a provision stating that only Congress can declare war. The decision to wage war should not be taken cavalierly. As Madison wrote, "The Constitution supposes what the history of all governments demonstrates, that the executive is the branch of power most interested in war and most prone to it. It has accordingly, with studied care, vested the question of war in the legislature." If President Obama had consulted Congress, as our Constitution requires him to do, perhaps we could have debated these questions before hastily involving ourselves in yet another Middle Eastern conflict. While the President is the commander of our armed forces, he is not a king. He may involve those forces in military conflict only when authorized by Congress or in response to an imminent threat. Neither was the case here. We are already in two wars that we are not paying for. We are waging war across the Middle East on a credit card, one whose limit is rapidly approaching. We already borrow money from countries like China to pay for our wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Should we continue borrowing money and saddling future generations with debt to pay for our current actions in Libya? The subtext to the President's speech concerning Libya tonight was, what if we had done nothing? But a better question might be, what if helping Libya's interests actually hurts America's interests? What if we are sending our military to places where we might actually be helping the same terrorists we fight in other countries? It's time that we re-examine these policies by once again consulting the Constitution on such matters and the common sense principles that made this country great. We can no longer afford to spend what we don't have, and we can't afford to address every other nation's problems before we address our own. Over the coming days and weeks, Congress will force President Obama to confront these questions. Our brave young men and women have answered the call of duty time and time again over the past decade. Our soldiers deserve, at the very least, that before we send them into a third war, that Congress, the People's House, deliberate, debate, and decide whether this war is in our vital national interests. Thank you for listening tonight, and God bless the United States of America.
All right, that's Senator Rand Paul laying it all out. Here are some of the headlines. Washington Times, anti-genocide advocate credits Obama for Libyan uprising. Well, no kidding. Western powers, run by the bankers, went in there and started this whole thing. Just like they admit they started Egypt to kick out their old dictator. And now they've completely banned all protesting, the Financial Times of London has reported, and they're reportedly raping the women. Just like they kicked Saddam, their old propped-up dictator, out and put in new corrupt systems that are enslaving the people of Iraq. The globalists don't want liberty or freedom in place, and they've lied to us and said this isn't a war, it's a kinetic military action. They've said, oh, we don't want ground troops, we want a humanitarian force on the ground as British Marines mass in ships and U.S. Marines mass in ships, and the Marines have gotten the internal memo and haven't even been told to lie. Their officers have come out even a week ago and again today and said, yeah, we're preparing to land. We're preparing to go in. They're massing troops off the coast and still telling you it's not a war as they bomb the daylights out of the country every single day. Now, you think about that. Even if you're for this war, they're lying to you. I mean, do you like being lied to? This is about global government and setting the precedent that the globalists can institute a rebellion with their operatives in a country. Sure, a lot of the folks are mad, have a reason to be angry. They join in. And the globalists can then can take over country after country. And here's what's in the news today. The globalists have already in the East set up a new central bank controlled by the IMF and World Bank and a new oil company to basically give the globalists the oil to then fund the ongoing rebel operations. They're already doing it. When the Serbs got bombed into submission, they then accepted a foreign central bank. They then accepted the loan sharking loans to get them into debt. Whether these countries are good, bad, whatever they are, the issue is the global imperium is going in and taking over every sovereign country left on earth, marching towards Damascus and Syria, openly talking about no-fly zones and invasions there, in the South, openly talking about going into Iran. 2.5 years ago, the globalists admittedly launched those rebellions in Iran, trying to overthrow that government, hoping that that government would then launch military attacks back or terror attacks so they could take more of our liberties here and launch a bigger war. I mean, you can see how the New World Order is going to take over countries now. They just fund some rebels, then say they're humanitarians. They could even be Al-Qaeda. We're told they're the good guys. If you're not for Al-Qaeda, you're with the terrorist. This is how crazy this is. This is how unconstitutional this is. This is how dumb the system thinks you are. But Obama last night, again, strongly defended the military action. The Associated Press calls it a war that's been launched. I thought it's a kinetic military action. Obama says Libyan civilian massacre would have stained world conscience, kind of like the UN organized massacre we now learn. They didn't just stand by. They ran it in Rwanda to get rid of the Christians. You mean like that one? Hundreds of thousands dead. Again, here's Reuters. U.S. says Libyan rebels may sell oil. They're setting up their new globalist-run oil company. Here's another one. Wow, that was fast, by the Economic Collapse blog at Infowars.com. Libyan rebels have already established a new central bank of Libya. Oh, guess what? Gaddafi had their own government-run bank. It wasn't run by foreign bankers. Oh, look at Ireland. It's been taken over by foreign banks now. The head of their Federal Reserve said it was good to, quote, be run by foreign banks. Yes, it's good. Radiation's good for you. Tyranny's good for you. TSA sticking their hands down your pants is good for you. Not having freedom is good for you. Having foreign banks own you is good for you. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side of this quick break to get into the reactors.
Personal Jesus, someone to hear your prayers, someone who cares.
So bottom line, this entire invasion is the New World Order globalist model to invade and take countries over. If they can't have rebels overthrow the government outright and that fails, then they back it up with military action. And that's all that's happening here. And it's a huge destabilization program. And it sets the precedent for other countries, not just what happened with Serbia, but the United States, you name it. If the UN says, hey, we like these rebels, even if they're Al-Qaeda or illegal aliens, whatever the case is, we're going to support this happening. And your government has no authority. It is a huge, huge development. And on top of it, we have the president not even consulting the Congress. Just amazing that this is happening. We're going to have open phones on Libya, on the dollar, on George Soros, openly announcing a new Bretton Woods II at the original hotel resort where the dollar was set up as the world reserve currency. They're having all the big banking heads come to decide how to move away from the dollar. That's in the Wall Street Journal. You name it. This is openly happening. The war is being used as a distraction for the imploding economy. We've got all that news and information we're going to be covering. And going back to what is currently unfolding in Japan, now 17 days into this crisis, Japan on maximum alert over nuclear plant. Their prime minister has come out and said that they are on maximum alert because of 100,000 times safe levels of uranium, plutonium, now getting into the ground and groundwater. Just horrible news. But, I mean, we knew this weeks ago. They're pumping in seawater on top of these five reactors. They can't get electricity hooked back up because even though they ran a new electricity line that was knocked over by the tsunami and earthquake, that the pumps are all smashed. They've now had to, again, pull back the workers because the radiation's so high that you get a lethal dose in 5 hours. You get 1,000 millisieverts an hour. That's 5,000 in 5 hours. This situation is out of control. And if you've got five reactors that have partially melted down or exploded and fuel rods thrown in every different direction, what do you think's going to happen if they can't even get the crews in there to try to even dump concrete on it? And besides, below that is the groundwater table. Large areas of Japan are going to be uninhabitable. And you criticize it. George Monbiot, the big liberal world population reduction rock star, comes out and says you're an idiot and that he loves nuclear power now. Just nonsensical in your face. No intellectual debate. He's the boss. You must do what he says. Ann Coulter on the fake right. Same thing. It's good for you. Shut up. You're crazy. You won't get cancer now. yeah, 5 hours of this, and you got a 50% chance of dying in just a few weeks, even the Washington Post admits. But let's just forget all that, because Ann Coulter and the nuclear lobby and Mom Beyond on the left, they say it's fine. They wave their magic wand, and if you don't like radiation now, if you think DU's bad for the troops, if you don't want the military to have a shooting range outside your town using it and getting into your groundwater, you're bad. You're bad. You're bad for being informed. You're bad for caring. You're bad for actually doing research. Just sit down, shut up, breathe deeply, give water to your kids, fill with radiation. It's fun. It's nutritious. Let the TSA put you in there. Baking machines, their microwave machines. Doesn't matter if they lied about the radiation levels as well. Doesn't matter if it's leaking out and splattering the people that work at the TSA. Just magic wand, it's good for you. Globalism's good for you. NAFTA and GATT's good for you. Don't you like it, folks? 1-800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Masses of important news, key video and audio clips, your phone calls straight ahead in hour number two. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now live into hour number two. We're going to be taking your phone calls. And then coming up, more on Obama's speech last night and how they're hailing wars, invasions, imperial takeovers as good. They have rebels that the globalists finance attack. And if they're unable to overthrow the country like they were Egypt, they invade. They start bombing and then they invade. And then they lie and say it's not a war when we're bombing them. We're not going to invade with ground troops, but we do want to have a humanitarian ground force. The Marines are standing by. That's how stupid they think you are. The latest on what's happening in Fukushima, 100,000 times safe levels of radiation, maximum alert, the prime minister says. Also, globalist bid to ban cars. Part of a Plantopolis agenda, the EU has openly announced they will begin banning cars. You cannot make this stuff up. It's so incredible. TSA moves against Jesse Ventura's suit against them, trying to have it thrown out of court. That's all coming up. The Syrian cabinet has resigned amid huge protest. Remember when Hosni Mubarak wouldn't resign after a month-long globalist orchestrated protest? He just suddenly had a stroke and we've never seen again. Who knows if he's even alive? You got to love that. Works well. So we're going to take a lot of your phone calls right now, and then at the bottom of the hour, get back into some of the other news we haven't covered yet. Joe in Texas, you're on the air.
Alex, how are you, sir?
Good.
Alex, I'm calling about your interview with Larry Pratt yesterday. The Border Patrol agent, Brian Terry, down in Arizona, that was basically murdered, that family should file murder charges on the ATF.
That's right. It's reportedly guns that ATF shipped into Mexico, allowed to be shipped in, that were then used to kill him.
Exactly. And that family should, like, file charges, murder charges, against the ATFE, man. And that just, I mean, that's wrong, brother. And what they did, and what he did standing up there, Obama, last night, that was pathetic. Trying to look like a real American. You know, well, our boys die. Because, Alex, I was in Marine Corps, and when we were sent down to Panama, and that was all over Noriega and drug deals and cartels, and they're doing the same thing.
And they
right
claimed
now.
It was to save two college girls, and when they finally got them, they said, we weren't held captive. It was all made up.
Yes, sir. But anyway, it's just, I think they should file murder charges on the ATFE, along with a couple other agents that's been killed down there. And because my daughter's in the Border Patrol, she's bilingual, and, I think they should file murder charges on them, or at least call congressmen, representatives, and get it underway. I know Larry and his group, gun owners, is trying to do it, but we need to just stay on top of them, and God bless you for your work, Alex.
Well, very well said, Joe. Thank you, and we hope your daughter's safe down there doing something that's actually constitutional under the federal government's auspices. The feds do everything they're not supposed to do under the Constitution, including following UN orders, and then won't allow the three things the federal government has purview to engage in for that to be properly carried out. And it's because they want to merge the U.S. with Mexico and Canada. And it has been confirmed now. It's all over the mainstream news, Ottawa Citizen, you name it, that they've signed deals with the Pentagon and foreign governments to use, quote, foreign troops from Canada and Mexico to, quote, deal with insurrection and civil unrest with the American people. I mean, it's just unbelievably, incredibly treasonous things are going on out in the open. And it's doesn't happen with a bang. It happens with a whimper. It's like people email me constantly. It's one of these false memes out there of, Alex, where's the martial law? Well, I don't know, when the banks steal the veterans' death benefits secretly and it comes out, nobody gets in trouble, and 23.7 trillion plus has been stolen. They won't say where the money went, and they've got TSA running checkpoints on the highways, and the federal government, the ATF's ordering gun dealers to not do certain sales even though there's no law. I mean, that's what martial law is, but they never announce it. They just slowly unfold these systems. We'll be back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
What's happening is the system is keeping the people in the dark. They call a military bombardment kinetic military action. They say it's not a war. U.S. and British Marines massing by the thousands in troop landing ships off the coast of Tripoli in the Mediterranean, and the Marines openly saying they're preparing to invade. That's not a ground force. That's a peace force. See, the U.N. is all about peace. When they kill hundreds of thousands of Christians in Rwanda and set up checkpoints, not letting the Christian people out so that the Hutus could come in and kill them. This is how the UN operates all over the world, because it's just a receivership arm created by the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, openly. David Rockefeller's bragged about this in his memoirs. In fact, I IM'd you this morning, a quote by David Rockefeller. We actually have his book back there somewhere, with about how he admits world government and that's what he wants, and that, you know, he's guilty as charged. We've read it many times on air, but it's always important to read it again, because that's what this system is. The UN is a corporate piratical receivership arm to take over this planet. We're going to continue to cover the latest developments in the economy, the TSA, the police state, globalist bid to ban cars as part of Plannedopolis agenda. BBC reports UK rejects EU call for city center ban on petrol cars, but the EU is going ahead with it, saying that their parliament is under their control. This is their goal, a post-industrial world, shutting down civilization. The bankers are waging war against the real economy, against real wealth. They want you as destitute people they can control. Let's go back to your calls. Victoria in Montana. Victoria, you're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you. What I wanted to say was, I think that the main reason why the Federal Reserve is trying to enslave the people of the world is because they know that they get their power and money from the United States mostly. And in 2012, their contract expires that Woodrow Wilson signed into law in 1913, selling us down the river as a country. And they know.
That's right. Let me stop you. It's totally key. The Federal Reserve 100-year anniversary is coming up in just about a year from now. Of course, 1913. And they know that that is basically running out at the end of 2012, in about, you know, a year and three quarters. They know that's coming to an end. That's why they've set up Bretton Woods II with George Soros running it, openly announcing that they want to get rid of the dollar. And then the dollar is the only thing we have left in this fiat system to keep buying all the international goods we need. And if folks think the Depression's bad now and 44 million Americans on food stamps is bad now, they haven't seen anything yet. These globalists have got us completely like a boa constrictor captures a little piglet wrapped up in their coils, and we've got to get out of it. Go ahead.
That's right, and they know that the American people will never allow them to renew that kind of tyranny again, since you and people like G. Edward Griffin and other people have exposed them. So they're trying to push us into a one-world bank and a one-world order so they can keep their control over the whole planet, and that's why they're attacking, like you said, these...
And by the way, they're openly announcing that everywhere. They're admitting world government run by private bankers. You'll pay all these... excise taxes, you'll pay national sales taxes, VAT, you'll pay carbon taxes to the private crooks. I mean, it's so incredible how naked it is, how ridiculously corrupt and fraudulent. And if we just get the word out, they're going to fail.
That's right. That's right, because they're nothing but a bunch of parasitical criminals that feeds off, you know, honest people that work and do what's right. And the United Nations, they're nothing but criminals that attack people. And I just don't.
Well, look at that. The UN gets caught running white slavery rings worldwide. And every time I say white slavery, I get emails saying, what about black slavery? Folks, white slavery is sexual slavery. Okay. Sex slaves. The UN, it isn't about color, has been caught every country they're in doing it, loading the little kids and women up that are kidnapped on jets, flying them to Saudi Arabia. Israel's big into it. Indonesia, a bunch of other countries are involved in it. Thailand. I mean, these people have gotten away with murder, with the most wicked things you can imagine. DynCorp, Halliburton, Chicago Tribune, white slavery rings. Everywhere the UN goes, they're caught murdering, massacring, torturing. I mean, their armies are just an army of murderous trash. I mean, it is the most wicked quasi-mercenary group you can imagine. The UN sent into Africa routinely. If some African nation tries to mine their own diamonds, they call them blood diamonds and make movies about how horrible it is if it isn't part of the De Beers Oppenheimer monopoly. And they send in UN troops to bomb and slaughter everyone. I mean, they send in French troops. I mean, it's private megabanks that run our armies. It's very simple. And now they're signing the deals, they're official, to use foreign troops in America, AP, Ottawa Citizen, Pentagon press releases, FEMA press releases. We show them here, we cover them. And it's so huge, it's so over the top, people don't even know how to respond, Victoria. Anything else?
And it's just terrible. What I think is that we need to bring all of our troops home, and we need to make Ron Paul president so we can get our country back.
Exactly. I appreciate your call. And what they're doing is setting the precedent first. Oh, we don't declare war anymore, even though that's illegal. Then, oh, we get at least a resolution for force. Now we don't do that. Now the president says, Lord UN, what do I do? You attack. Yes, sir. Boom. Launch the attack. Boom. I mean, world government is here. The World Trade Organization has all the power now over our trade. Congress just signed it away. The Congress is just a bunch of crooks, by and large, collecting big payoffs in their wives and husbands and children, you know, get $500,000 a year salaries at the defense contractors, you know, that they sit on the committees for to get them the money. I mean, it's just wall-to-wall corruption, bankrupting everything, because that's towards the end game, to make the money while they're bankrupting us. Then once they bankrupt us, they hold us hostage and say, we're going to raise your taxes, you're going to live under austerity, it's for the earth. Everything goes to us now. And then they use the bankruptcy as a way to bring the country into receivership, just like Germany at the end of World War I through the Versailles Treaty. Stephen in North Carolina, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Alex. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I just wanted to make a quick statement, and then I had a question for you, if that'd be all right.
Yes.
I just want to say, anyone that supports this military action in Libya has got to be out of their mind, because if they think if one day we should finally get up the nerve to stand up against our federal government, do they think the UN's going to come in and back us up to overthrow them? Absolutely not. That was my statement. And I was just wondering, worst case scenario, the nuclear power plant in Japan is to melt down and it completely, you know, All hands off the deck, it's over.
Yeah, it's already worse than Chernobyl. If you count the five of them that have at least partially melted down, now at least two of the cores open leaking, it's already past Chernobyl. But yes, they could continue to have even bigger meltdowns, and it could get even worse. Go ahead.
Well, what do you think the the end game would it be over here in America? What do you think the government is going to do with all the radiation and everything else coming this way? Are they going to continue to whitewash it, or are they going to eventually admit, yes, you know, it's
no, the they're telling us eat seafood out of the Pacific. They're saying, yeah, some radiation detectors are showing higher levels all over the U.S., even Europe. So what? It's not bad for you. And a lot of people are saying, well, this is a globalist plan. They might have blown up, you know, the first reactor or something. No, it was the tsunami and earthquake, folks, as a way to shut down nuclear power, just like they want to shut down coal. No, the globalists are clearly signifying, and they're big fake environmentalist groups, that they want to shut down coal because that's not controlled by the big oil companies. They're owned by the big banks. And that they're going to go ahead with more nuclear reactors, not less. And so I just see them whitewashing the whole thing. And it's just like the 300-plus above ground, 500-plus with all countries involved, but 300-plus with the U.S. alone, above ground nuclear tests. So what if cancer rates go up? So what if fertility goes down? Remember, the globalists mine phosphate for fertilizer production out of limestone deposits that have different radioactive isotopes in it. It's where they also mine for uranium, and they put that in your water and call it sodium fluoride. So remember when I had Dr. Busby on, and he said many of my colleagues, of course, he's a top chemical physicist, top radiation expert in its effects. He said, yes, many of my colleagues actually believe this is on purpose because the sperm count has dropped by 87% in fertility. Radioactive isotopes are key to reducing fertility. I just don't know, but it doesn't matter. The fact is fertility in every region where nuclear power is used and where nuclear systems are fissile material is purified. Fertility is dropping regardless. It is destroying the human species. And you have a eugenicist like Mombiot running around saying more reactors, build them everywhere. Oh, I love it. Fluoride in the water, you know. This is what they want. And so you can't get around the fact, and you heard me right, folks, all over the U.S., they put radioactive isotopes in your water in the cocktail of 150 to 300 plus, depending on what company they buy it from, chemicals in your water. Amongst them, different radioactive isotopes. And I showed the mainstream news articles again. They just calmly go, yeah, the government covered up radiation in your water at high levels. They don't say why they covered it up, and no one asks, why is it there? It's just, it's there, and it's not going to stop. We're just letting you know now. And yes, cell phones give you brain cancer, but aren't they fun? Go ahead and give them to your kids. Does that answer your question, my friend?
Yes, it does. And so in the grand scheme of things, this plays into world depopulation and eugenics.
Absolutely. It plays into the fact that the globalists have a spirit of death and destruction, like their father, and this is what they do. I mean, you can ascribe to it whatever reason you think they're doing it, but they're doing it. No one can debate that these people, until 1991, wouldn't let troops use DU. Now they use it everywhere. It ignites when they fire it out the end of the barrel. The troops are getting deadly dosages of it that will reduce their lifespan by decades every time they fire a DU round, and they don't care. What does that tell you about the New World Order? Okay, what does that tell you? Let's go right to your phone calls. Harry in Michigan, you're on the air, sir. Thank you for holding.
Yeah, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Are you there? Hey, Glick, it's great to talk to you again, man, and thank you for all the work you're doing, and God bless you, and keep up the good work. And my first deal is that I have been a long-time listener to you, probably 16 years.
Thank you.
I heard you in Katy, Texas, about 16, 17 years ago. And you opened my eyes. Been open since about 1980 when I was taught that the Trilateral Commission and the United Nations were a bunch of scum sucking bottom feeders. And I have been a pipe fitter. I'm working on a nuclear plant since about 1971. I was a welder. And people in this country do not know the severity of what has happened over there in Japan and what's going on in this country. It's just making me sick.
Now they've set the precedent to have 5 reactors on fire, exploding, 600,000 spent fuel rods, open reactors with live uranium, plutonium, and off-gassing, blowing to the U.S., and our media's like, hey, this isn't bad for you. In fact, it's good for you.
Well, yeah, Miss Ann Coulter. I mean, this woman needs to be hung. I mean, what a lying piece of scum she is. And all these globalist scum this is a slow kill. And I see this coming across the United States and around the world, and all I see is a slow kill down the road. And the more people you try to wake up to this, luckily I've woke up 3 people so far this month to what's going on with this.
Oh, yeah, that's the exciting thing, and we got to make lemonade out of lemons, is that people are ready to wake up now. We've got the truth. We've got the facts. The globalists don't admissions. A lot of people, tens of millions of people in the U.S. alone, remember myself and many others telling them the truth for decades. Now they see it all coming true. Our credibility continues to rise.
Exactly. And when Lindsey Williams, who was on your show last time, talking about the Day of the Rage, I went in and told people right after that happened, and when it did happen on the 11th, and all this stuff went down, the nuclear job going down, and this whitewashing of what's going on over in the East, I mean, people come up to me and said, you know, how did you know this? I said, well, you got to be informed. You people have got to wake up. You're sheep. Listen to Alex Jones' show, InfoWars, Prison Planet. You know?
Well, by the way, Harry, and it's spreading the word is key now because folks are, again, finally ready to be awakened because the facts are now in their face, not over the next hill. We haven't even pointed out, and I got an email about this last night. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, I don't want to say this was an inside job, but maybe 11s are unlucky. You had the 7/7 attack. You had the 3/11 attack in Madrid. We've had all these other 11 attacks, 9/11. You notice it was 3/11/11, 3/11/11 when this Japanese earthquake tsunami happened. I tell you, folks, that is really strange, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Alex. And it all falls back to these globalist beliefs in their religion and the numerology involved in this.
Well, I remember a lady calling me last year on air when I saw this email. I remember the call. She goes, Alex, you've got to listen to me. 3/11/11, they're going to hit. You know, there's going to be earthquakes. And I'm like, okay, thank you, ma'am. I guess she must have been psychic or something. I mean, I don't get into things that we can't prove, but that is a little weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it most certainly is. And, you know, I'm beginning to believe it. There's that they do work in this number system, 9/11, and, their belief system. It's definitely a Luciferian belief system that they're in. And, this has got to stop. The American people have got to make a stand. They got to draw that line in the sand. Like Travis said, we got to stand up and fight these people. And it's my passion for years of being laughed at and scorned that this day was going to happen.
Absolutely. Harry, it's beautiful that you were listening in Texas. Must have been 98.9, 16 and a half years ago. And imagine the tens of millions of others. I've done thousands of radio interviews, hundreds and hundreds of TV interviews, internationally and nationally. I have, we've put out thousands and thousands of stories, 25 plus films, thousands of videos. Think about that woodpecker effect of just doing it over and over and over again. And all those millions and millions and millions, really hundreds of millions, that have heard the information I've put out doggedly, steadfastly, and the effect it's had. And think of all the people you personally warned and all of the other listeners warned who got laughed at, the hundreds of millions you got to worldwide. And now the globalists can see the growth curve. They can see how fast we're waking up. So they're going to implode economy, start war, stage terror attacks, you name it.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
We are in the clutches of the globalist. And they are ruthless. They know how to socially engineer. They know how to manipulate. They know how to lie. But no matter how sophisticated they are, if you're aware of their program, which is very simple overall, their manipulation is complex, it's all over for them. And it doesn't work anymore for them to just call us conspiracy theorists. It doesn't work anymore when you say, I don't trust the government raising my taxes. I don't like what the foreign banks are doing, not seeing where the trillions went. I don't like the TSA violating states' rights, setting up checkpoints, not just in airports, but all over highways. I don't like these foreign troop agreements to use troops in our country. I don't like the UN telling our president what to do and him in a servile fashion going along with it in Congress illegally. Because Congress is now involved in treason. Every member of Congress, other than Rand Paul, the senator, and a few Democrats other than them, are engaged. They should all be impeached. I'm calling for the whole Congress who's laying there doing nothing to be impeached. They're all part of this treason. I don't use treason lightly. Signing the North American Union Agreement 6 years ago in secret, and then it came out 2 years later, to have corporations telling our governments what to do, wanting to set up toll roads on 84 interstate highways to fund the new North American Union? Congress not involved? And still they're following North American integration? I mean, it's all going on. Again, 2007, 4 years ago, you can just go to YouTube and type in 50-year anniversary of EU celebrations. In fact, let's just do it ourselves. 50-year show a news headline. We'll show photos. 50-year anniversary of the EU. How did they have a 50th anniversary in 2007. The EU, we're all told, started in 2000. 15 members, then 20, then 25. Countries being gobbled up by this criminal organization so they could then be bankrupted and put into receivership. And then the richer European nations would, quote, bail them out, meaning paying the bankers their loan sharking rates. How did they have a 50th anniversary? Because the Treaty of Rome, as I show and cover in Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, and the EU and the UN brag about this, the Treaty of Rome, 1957, established the European Union under a trade deal like NAFTA and GATT. We're in the North American Union. It's treason. Real treason. I don't just use that word lightly. Systemic treason. These private corporations set up international bodies and then have Congress and the legislatures who are under Fed. First, the feds take over the states, then the feds sign over to the foreign banks, and they run the planet. And Congress does what they're told because they're bought and paid for. Now, there's a headline. The European Union celebrates its 50th anniversary on the 25th of April, 2007. You notice the 25th of April is when they ratified the Treaty of Rome. And they say, 50 years ago, the leaders of six European countries, Belgium, France, Germany, Luxembourg, Italy, and the Netherlands, signed the Treaties of Rome, which established the modern-day European Union, co-cooperation, which started with the coal and steel and has become an unprecedented success in creating a political and economic union between 27 member states. First 15, then 25, then 27, and growing. What publication was that from, or was that an actual EU press release? Press release by the EU. And by the way, all over Europe, no one came out to the lavish taxpayer-funded parades and fireworks displays. There were just police blocking the barricades and almost no one out there. The few that were there were booing it, kind of like the French when the Nazis came into Paris. They turned their backs on them. Couldn't arrest them all. They don't care. Okay, and if they win down the road, they'll announce the anniversary of the North American Union. They may say it was 1994, NAFTA and GATT. They may say it was 2005 with the SPP signing. The point is, they say we're now in it. Do you understand? I'm not just saying this. I tell high-powered reporters from Nightline and Rolling Stone and New York Magazine and Wall Street Journal, when they come here, I go, can I give you the actual global documents from the UN, from the IMF, can I show you where David Rockefeller says that he's guilty as charged, wanting a world government? Can I show you a New York Times article with David Rockefeller praising Mao Zedong? And they say, no, I don't want to look at it. This is your opinion. And they go write articles that I'm crazy making this stuff up. Okay, I'm crazy. This is from David Rockefeller's book. In fact, we'll put it back up on screen. I forget the title. What's the title of the book? I own it. Oh, here it is. Here it is. They got it. Here it is. I can show folks watching PrisonPlanet.tv. We've got bookshelf after bookshelf out there. David Rockefeller, Memoirs, with an afterword by the author. This is his authorized New York Times bestseller that came out in 2005. Let me even check the publication date to be absolutely precise and test my memory, which is, excuse me. First published in 2002, and then I got it with a reprint in 2004. And this is in memory of Abby Aldrich Rockefeller and my wife, Peggy Rockefeller. And it's bookmarked here in the book, because the press likes to roll their eyes when I show this to them, Proud Internationalist. That means not International Brotherhood, but that means bankers. And there's quotes where he says, I want international bankers to run things versus free states. And we have the quote here. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalist, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it. And they've got all these low-level camp followers who run around and say that, oh, it's about brotherhood and peace. Yeah, you see the peace of the UN and the bankers. I mean, I've seen top globalists in the EU bragging in major newspapers. We've read the quotes here where, in fact, you can even search the term, founders of EU admit that it is a takeover arm for sovereign states for bankers. I mean, they just brag thinking you're stupid and you don't read their own books they write. In fact, I actually found it out of the book itself. Here's the full quote. In fact, zoom in on this so folks will actually see it out of the book if they're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. Right here on page 405. Populist paranoia. Now, he goes on here to say we're paranoid because we don't like this. See, this is what globalists do. Then we're going back to your calls. They admit they're setting up world government, but then if you don't like it, you're insane and it doesn't exist. And he shows this arrogant mind control spin in this full paragraph. He says, for more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum, folks that don't want to be slaves to unelected foreign bureaucracies created by private banks. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting him. Let me just read his quote here. For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents such as my encounter with Castro to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Let me see. I've seen Rockefeller on C-SPAN with world leaders introducing him, saying he set up the world order with his family, donated the land for the UN, and founded every major private globalist organization in every major country, and they have constant meetings to coordinate it. But, oh, he's not involved in that. Continuing, some even believe we're part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States. Well, look what's happening to the bankrupt republic. Characterizing my family and me as internationalist and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it. The anti-Rockefeller focus of these otherwise incomparable political positions owes much to populism. Oh, that dirty, dirty thing. Populists believe in conspiracies. He just admitted he wants world government. And there's countless documents where they break down exactly how it's going to work. Post-industrial, one-child policies, Rockefeller Foundation-funded papers on sterilants and vaccines. We've got all those documents on Infowars.com. That, in case there's new viewers or listeners, type in Rockefeller Foundation documents, fund sterilants and vaccines, Rockefeller documents, Rockefeller Foundation, sterilants and vaccines, Infowars.com. And then you go, well, that's Infowars.com. Now we have links to mainstream articles and then the actual documents that we wrote last year in 1 month, one of our great writers, 10 different articles on it, 10, 10, Oh, but we're populist conspiracy theorists because we know how to go to major libraries and pull Rockefeller Foundation documents from 1966. And the UN was caught with the exact program they talked about, vaccinating people and sterilizing them. There it is. Rockefeller Foundation developed vaccines for mass-scale fertility reduction. And then you scroll down. Oh, what's on the site? Links to the actual PDFs. Oh, we know how to read. We're evil conspiracy theorists. Let me go back. The anti-Rockefeller focus of these otherwise incomparable, who can comprehend people that know how to read their own documents? These anti-Rockefeller focus of these otherwise incomparable political positions owes much to populism. Populists believe in conspiracies. You mean in powerful people manipulating and wanting more power? You mean we believe in history and reality? Populists believe in conspiracies. And one of the most endearing is that a secret group of international bankers and capitalists and their minions control the world's economy. Because of my name and prominence at the head of Chase for many years, I have earned the distinction as a conspirator-in-chief from some of these people. Populists and isolationists. And we're not isolationists. We don't like China having tariffs on us because you just moved your factories over there. We don't have tariffs on them. We don't like your insiders that wrote the health care bill all getting waivers for their companies to get health care, but I've got to buy it, even though my employees don't want it. We don't like your unfair trade advantage, punk. And it just goes on. And all these are code words. All we want in the United States as a result of global trade, oh, look how good that's been, so-called global trade, improved communications, so we're deindustrialized, they're spying on all of us, and the heightened interaction of people from different cultures, bringing groups in so we all fight with each other. Populists rarely mention these positive consequences. Oh, yes. It's like the positive consequences of gonorrhea. Nor can they cogently explain, we can't do that, how they would have sustained American economic growth and the expansion of our political power without them. You mean your political power using the United States as your evil juggernaut? Again, oh boy, it is really hard to respond to this level of throwing it in your face. These people are tyrants. This is a man who in the New York Times, we went to the microfilm at UT and have it in Endgame, the date, everything, and praised Chinese control and what Mao did. And what do you see in the news all the time from the CFR that he helped set up with his father? How China's the model, how they're great, how they're not bad. What do Google and Yahoo do? What do the big telecommunications giants do? They help China censor their people, and then our own government and the Australian and British government then come out with headlines. We're going to use the Chinese model of censorship. Pull that up. That was first in Australia 3 years ago. Headline. Just show everybody here on air. This is my opinion. It's all right here. I've studied this. You can study it. That's what's so effective about this show. Boom. Show you everything. Tell you about Rockefeller. Show you his book. Tell you about the New York Times article. Tell you where you can look at it for free online. WhatIsTheEndgame.com, full bibliography of the film, every minute of the film, with a link and a time code and the links to the documents. Boom. Oh, I can't cogently break it down, Herr Rockefeller, huh? And what you've done. There it is, Australia to enforce mandatory Chinese-style internet censorship. Yeah, that's an InfoWars.com. Try it. I believe it was The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald had it. Go with their articles. Just say Australia implementing Chinese style web. That was it. Yeah, Harold's son, but the page not found. He found the link, but they've moved the page. Take me back to Google then. Let's show them that under that search term it did lead to the Australian news. Point is, you know, this has all been announced, and our article will have quotes in it. That's why we write articles about stuff that's already in mainstream news, so there's a record of it when they put it behind a wall or move it or get rid of it. So, but who can deny they're calling for internet kill switches? Who can deny? You know about that. Okay, let's go ahead now and talk to John in Michigan, then Kyle Keith, Richard Blue Star, and others. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, two things, a reference to Obama's address last night and to the war in Libya.
Yes. not a war conspiracy theorist. Remember what Karl Rove, in fact, pull me up the Karl Rove clip. I'm on fire here, but I'm going to go to you, John. Pull up Karl Rove tells press, we control reality. Karl Rove's, we control reality. And they said, it doesn't matter what real reality is, we will tell you. And so they said, this is not a war. It's a kinetic military action. It is not a war. You are a conspiracy theorist. This is not a war. Do you understand that, John?
Yes, sir. Kinetic military action.
Yes.
Yeah, our dear leader referenced Bosnia, or the 78 days we bombed Serbia with a depleted uranium.
Yes,
for
very loving.
Reasons.
And their burnt effects have gone up fourfold. Yes, very loving.
Since you brought up Al-Qaeda backing the KLA, not just today, but back in martial law, I was hoping you could go into a little detail and refresh the public's memory on how the Mujahideen was used to stir the pot.
Sure. In my 2005 film, Martial Law, 9-1-1 Rise of the Police State, a three-hour treatise, I think it's one of my best films, and it's available on DVD at Infowars.com if folks want to get it, or it's free all over the web, but you might want to, you know, put some change in the kitty here, folks, plus have it on high quality for your archives and to share and make copies from. But we just show all the mainstream news admitting, yeah, Al-Qaeda's wonderful, and they're attacking the Serbs, and when the Serbs fought back, it's evil. So they had to bomb the entire country and their water treatment and power plants and TV stations with giant DU bombs. And why not? It's good for our troops. It must be good for the Serbs. It's like dropping flowers on them. And turned out the UN report even admitted, not saying the Serbs were good, it was ethnic cleansing, that the Croats and Muslims killed around double in the 10 years of war before that what the Serbs did. But it doesn't matter. They said the Serbs were the bad guys. They had one-third of their land taken, basically given as a satellite to the drug-running Albania, Al-Qaeda run. And they admitted Al-Qaeda was there and it was CIA run. And if you don't like Al-Qaeda, you're bad. I mean, what else do you say? Al-Qaeda is the good guys. I don't agree with that, so I'm an un-American piece of trash. Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd point out, too, last night, there was a line of truth that came out from King Obama, and that was he said, some nations may be able to turn a blind eye to atrocities in other countries. The United States of America is different, and he's right. He's not turning a blind eye. He's defining the atrocities.
Now, dropping DU all over the Libyans is good. Man, you are sick. This is not a war. DU is good. Fukushima is good. Shut up.
We don't need no education.
By the way, Aaron Dykes ran in here during the break and said, look, you got to look at more quotes in Rockefeller's book. I read it years ago, where he talks about the Bilderberg Group and world government. So Aaron's going to be popping in at 8 after for a few minutes to go over that. Also, we're trying to dig up the full Karl Rove quote because he said it to a group of Washington Post, New York Times. They reported it was like 6 or 7 reporters at a cocktail party. And they said, you know, these wars are killing people. You know, you did lie about WMDs. And he says, look, you guys can try to go with reality if you want. We're an empire now. We control reality. And we'll change what we say day to day. And whatever we say is the new reality. You know, Al-Qaeda is good one day. It's bad the next. It's good again. It's 1984. We're history's actors now. We control reality. All you can do is sit there and watch it. Now, I'm paraphrasing him, but we're going to find the full quote and go over it. This is the arrogance. That's why they practice this on you to kind of befuddle you and go, uranium is good for you. TSA sticking your hands down your pants, that's security. The government doing unannounced drills at elementary schools, coming in and screaming they're going to kill your children and terrorizing them, that's security. You know, we're going to listen to all your phones without wiretaps now. That's freedom. Now, we're not listening to you without wiretaps, but we are. And public schools from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to Sacramento, California, we're going to watch you on government-issued laptops, which are free. They're not free. You pay for them with tax money, but they're free. We're going to watch you. See, everything's a lie. We're going to watch you at home. What you going to do about that, huh? You don't like that? You don't like it, huh? You don't like it in your face? We're going to do it. We're going to do more. And we're going to finance rebels, Al-Qaeda, to attack countries, and we're going to go in and help Al-Qaeda. And you're going to like it. And it's not going to be called war, either. And the yuppies go, yeah, that's right, not war. Because they're trendy. They know how to, well, I know how to buy into the propaganda. I have Crime Stop, as George Orwell said. You know, whenever I see something that it's a lie, I just decide to go along with it. And that makes me morally superior and stylish. Why, I'm so intellectual, I watch the Sunday news shows, and then I parrot what they said around the coffee or water cooler, and people think I'm smart around the office. And there's some guy in the office, you know, who says they're setting up a world government and devaluing the currency. He even brings in news articles. He's a kook. I'm smart. I'm official. I'm cool. I parrot things. Why? I'm a software engineer, and they've brought in foreigners, and I'm training them to replace me, but it's good, and I'm not even going to say anything about it. Because I'm a member of the establishment. I feel like David Rockefeller's patting me on the head. And they've got global CFR, regional CFR, local CFR spinoffs, and people making a few hundred thousand a year going in their suits, and you'll see them, you know, just basking at events, sitting around, just, oh, it's so good to be part of this. Oh, man, I've really arrived. And they'll go to fundraisers and give $1,000 to sit at the table and feel big. And George W. Bush or Obama will shake their hand, and they'll click their heels. And they send the Council on Foreign Relations people out to universities to speak, and they send the Federal Reserve out to tell folks how great they are. And the professors bring them in and feel honored to have them, and they sit there and tell them about how good world government is and how people that don't like it are kooks. And they take the best and brightest out of the public and private high schools and private schools and have UN, model UN, and the kids go and learn about global government and how bad America and the family and guns are, and their parents are so proud of their salutatorians and valedictorians that are part of the UN. My son was invited to the United Nations and sat in the gallery while the Secretary General addressed on world peace. How dare you not like the... And you see the Miss Americas to win. They've all got a call for UN and gun control. And, oh, they win. Oh, you're anti-America. You win. Oh, the lady's going to win. She says she wants to control the borders and states' rights. You were going to win. You were in first place, but sorry. You get second place now. You didn't say you were for open borders. Bye-bye. You know, we're the bankers. We've got all the money. And we decide who can operate and who can't. We've got all the money. You do what we say. Now lick our hand.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I'm going to continue with open phones throughout the hour, but I pretty much segued into covering the globalist, the chieftains of the New World Order. I want to go into some more David Rockefeller quotes in the next segment, and we did find the full New York Times Magazine Karl Rove quote, where the Washington Post, New York Times, and other top reporters are around him at a party, and they said, we're in the reality-based community. You know, you guys lie a lot. And he said, doesn't matter. We control reality. Don't you understand that? And I'm going to read that quote coming up. And see, the elect minions know how to buy into being conned. That's stylish. That's cool. Being a chump, being a schmuck, being a fool, being an idiot, being a moron, being conned, that's cool. Being uninformed, that's grace. That's style. Your heroes being a bunch of gang-banging sports figures, that's true leadership. Being on Prozac, dying young of cancer, that's style. Let's talk to Keith in Tejas. You're on the air. Welcome.
Mr. Jones, it's Keith with Funkmaster 5 Channel. How you doing?
Well done with what you're doing on YouTube. How you doing?
Well, I just want to throw out there real quick. Anybody who follows Glenn Beck and thinks he's a conservative and thinks about his Restoring Honor rally and all his claims to be, you know, down with home values and family values, all you need to do is Google search Glenn Beck has gay fantasy, and that should definitely pull it out there.
Oh, his crazy rant, that's really discredited him. I'm sad he did that, attacking me last week, but I mean, it's so insane. And this is the big Christian Mormon leader who leads people in prayer at the at the monument, and he takes little clips of me saying, man, Charlie, because I was there helping him, you know, make sure he stayed clean and off drugs. And I said, man, you're working out. You look great. You're clean. And they took that and turned it into, well, we all know what Glenn Beck did. It's very bizarre. I can't repeat it on air.
Well, you know, he's the equivalent of somebody walking by, seeing somebody who's injured in the street, you know, with a broken leg or bleeding or sick, running by, seeing a bunch of people kicking them, and then running by and sneaking in and getting a kick himself, too. You know, and it's really sad and pitiful to see that he's doing the same thing.
Well, it means we're getting to him, and we forced him to go further on covering the New World Order. And I wish him nothing but well, but, you know, from reading about him, making jokes about friends of his that had, you know, had miscarriages and things. I mean, he's a very twisted, hurt person. And the globalists put him in power because he is unstable and can later be destroyed. And the reports are he's got a lot of stuff hidden about him. And he's just a very mentally unstable person. And we really feel sorry for Glenn.
It's not a big surprise. I mean, there's even a video circulating around YouTube where he admits that he converted to be a Mormon in the first place so that he could get who he's now married to, his wife, to have sex with them.
Yeah, he said that. I've seen it straight up on a national TV interview.
There's your Mormon. There's your, restoring honor right there, you know?
Well, it's pretty amazing, Keith, but I'm not judging him. I judge him on his political statements and what he stands for, and he does put out some good fruit. You know, it's a mixed tree, but it's because the globalists are so desperate to control this movement. We've done such a good job of really getting the facts out there that it was discrediting the system. So they kind of put out a twisted doppelganger of myself and others. He's a composite to try to lead the movement into war, torture, and the Patriot Act. But at least he is covering the Federal Reserve. That shows how far we've come, how far Ron Paul's come, Keith. But I really don't want to get into Glenn Beck and all that. I mean, it's actually a great victory that he's attacking me and Bill O'Reilly is. You know what Gandhi said? First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they attack you, then you win. We're winning. Duh.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
You know, periodically, every few months, I will go pull from the thousands and thousands of Council on Foreign Relations quotes on their own website, because they've got stuff up there going back to 1922 when they were set up. They've loaded it up there. And their recent comments about how they would set up 10 regions in America, 10 regions in every other country, suborn national sovereignty, sign it over to a private international banking cartel. Then in the 70s, they said that they would bring out carbon taxes in the future, tax everyone on human activity paid to them to control all activity so you can't even have a business, a job, a barn, build a shack, you know, outback your house, fix your home without going through international zoning. Just like with the insurance companies writing the healthcare bill to only allow their companies to then be exempt, thus shutting down all competition. Or the globalists in the 70s moving their base of construction operations and manufacturing to China, having China lower their currency as a tariff so we couldn't compete, deindustrializing America, the giant sucking sound. What did Al Gore do in the debates in 1992, 1993, when independent candidate Ross Perot would say, you're going to hear a giant sucking sound. We're going to be deindustrialized. Wages are going to drop. Al Gore would just laugh at him. President Bush would laugh at him in the debates. Clinton would laugh at him in the debates that they had over and over again on Larry King Live. He would just laugh and go, it's a good deal, Larry. It's great. We have all that in the film Fall of the Republic. Well, now you see 16, 17 years later, 18 years later, how good was it? Was it wonderful? So last hour I was reading quotes about Rockefeller saying, yeah, I want global government. I want to get rid of national sovereignty. I'm guilty as charged. And then he gets into Bilderberg Group next. But before I go to that, here's another globalist quote out of the New York Times Magazine. It is a lengthy 15-page article, and here is the cover of it. If you are a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer, if not, just search the term faith, certainty, and the presidency of George W. Bush. And then you turn to page 10 in New York Magazine, and it's the New York Times, the Washington Post, and a coterie of super high-powered reporters. And they're talking to him, and they're saying, this is written a few years after the invasion of Iraq. It's actually about a year after, October 17, 2004, a little more than a year, 16 months or so. And they're sitting there talking to Karl Rove, and they're going, but yeah, you guys lie. This isn't a private discussion. You're constantly lying. And it goes on. In the summer of 2002, after I'd written an article in Esquire, this is from the New York Times, that the White House didn't like about Bush's former communications director, Karen Hughes, I had a meeting with a senior advisor to Bush. He expressed the White House's displeasure and then told me something that at the time I didn't fully comprehend, that which I now believe gets to the very heart of the presidency. Now, see, the New York Times claims this was a recorded meeting, but then a bunch of other reporters said, well, the same thing was said at the cocktail party. So I guess they were either recording that. So there was also a debate about this, but Karl Rove then went on to confirm that he indeed had said this and said this many times. But so he goes on to say, but which I now believe gets to the very heart of the Bush presidency. Yeah, like Bush saying it isn't illegal when the president says do it. That's what Nixon said. Oh, I can order lying and stealing and breaking into people's houses and wiretapping without warrants, because when the president does it, it isn't illegal. Now listen to what Karl Rove told New York Times writer Ron Suskind, okay? The aide said, these guys like me, and he's not saying Karl Rove at the time, it later came out it was Karl Rove. The aide said that guys like me were, quote, in what we call the reality-based community. So Karl Rove says, you're in the reality-based community. Remember Matt Drudge a few months ago took my quote live on air, where I said there's no rest for those of us that live in reality, those of us that work in reality. Will you guys go to his Twitter and get me my actual quote? Because it was better than that. The point is, I said there's no rest for those of us that live and work in reality. But again, Karl Rove says to the New York Times reporter, in what we call the reality-based community, he says, the aide said that guys like me were in what we call the reality-based community. So Karl Rove's saying, well, you're living in reality, pal. See, they are psychological warfare experts. They know when they say DU is good for you and Fukushima is good for you, and they have the left and right say it, that it confuses people and bewilders you. And instead of you having the moral high ground and everybody admitting a fact, they just go, we pretend it doesn't exist. It's like Bill Clinton saying, it depends on what the word is. On the definition of is. People are like, what? And he goes, oh, you're not smart enough to get it. No, I get it. You're a con artist. In what we call the reality-based community, which he defined as people who, quote, believe that solutions emerge from your judicious study of discernible reality. So he says, you people are what we call the reality-based community. Quote, you believe that solutions emerge from your judicious study of discernible reality. See, that's what I do. History, reality, globalist documents, their public plans. See, I do believe, I am in the reality-based community, that solutions emerge from your judicious study of discernible reality. I nodded, the New York Times reporter said, and murmured something about enlightenment principles and things being empirical. He cut me off. That's not the way the world really works anymore, said Karl Rove. He continued, we're an empire now. And when we act, we create our own reality. See, this is what happens to people that have total power and can get away with anything they want. DynCorp and Halliburton can publicly run giant child kidnapping rings. It can come out in Houston Chronicle, Chicago Tribune. Nobody gets in trouble. I go tell Austin cops I'm walking out of P.F. Chang's a few years ago. DynCorp's across the street. They're laughing at me. Oh, look, it's Alex Jones. One of them's a commander. And I walk over to the big cop and the other little cops, big giant cop. And I said, officer, that DynCorp facility, that's one of their head offices. They're in mainstream news running kidnapping rings. And he smiled at me and he said, I know, Alex, I work for them. And they all started just laughing. Whether he worked for them or not, the point is, it was all funny. See, you're not in the reality-based community. You know this spirit of gibbering, demonic, servile, giving yourself over to delusions, just like Nero did. Nero burned Rome because he wanted part of it because he wanted to expand his palace, then blamed it on the Christians. Nero got so crazy he believed he was a god and that he couldn't die if he committed suicide. Of course, he died. See, for the most powerful, they go crazy, and then death and destruction. They reported that Hitler would sit for hours on the Polish front looking through a telescope, watching bombs and burning like it was the greatest show on earth, and Stuka bombers dive bombing. Burning cities, dead children, fire, they love it. And see, they just giggle. They giggle and enjoy it. I nodded and murmured something about enlightenment principles. He cut me off. That's not the way the world really works anymore, Karl Rove continued. We're an empire now. And when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality judiciously, you actually study reality. I don't care. You're judicious. Look at you. You can think for yourself. It doesn't matter if you think for yourself. Resistance is futile, which it really isn't. This is a con artist's gibbering game. He's a little gross, sniveling, unconservative demon. And while you're studying that reality judiciously, and you will, listen to him, you will, we'll act again, creating our own other new realities. Again, and while you're studying that reality judiciously, as you will, we'll act again, creating other new realities, which you can study too. See, he's saying it doesn't matter what you do. And that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors, and you, all of you, will be left to just study what we do. And he goes on with the other reporters completely shocked by the statement. But see, the smart ones like a Joe Hagan, we're going to come back and go to Aaron after the break. The smart ones like a New York Magazine writer, the smart ones like a Media Matters Rolling Stone writer, they know how. When they come to my office and I go, here's all the globalist documents, here's their books, do you want these? No, thank you. Do you want me to show you the Rockefeller documents where they put the sterilants in the vaccines? Would you like to see a bunch of quotes on video of them calling for world government and a one-child policy? No, thank you. Why? Because you're just reporting on me, the phenomenon. Well, let's not talk about Alex Jones. Let's talk about what I stand for. But instead, they just give little crazy-sounding bullet points, hoping people don't look deeper. You know, I'm saying this is a big, deep reservoir of corruption and death and destruction. And history shows it, and here's the globalists admitting it. Please look. Please, for your own family's future. I'm getting chills right now. And the yuppies and all of them flowing from this spiritual blindness, whatever you want to call it, they just giggle and smirk and say, the people of Fukushima should be happy. This is going to be good for them. George Monbiot, I might have been on the fence before. Now I believe in nuclear power. People are like, that doesn't make sense. I control reality. I've got the backing of the power structure. I'm George Monbiot. I go to globalist Bilderberg meetings. I openly write for world government. But then I write articles saying you're crazy if you believe in world government. Just like David Rockefeller did in his memoirs that we read last hour. He said, yeah, we're setting up world government, but there's these crazy populists who believe we're setting up a world government, and they're nuts. But we are. Now let me talk about the Bilderberg group, he goes on. I mean, years after this memoir was written, I would still have the New York Times and others say Jones is insane. He believes a thing called the Bilderberg group exists. And I call the reporter and I go, don't you want their own minutes that have been leaked? Don't you want to have the right? And they're like, no, I don't. Alex, I got to go. By the way, you're going to lose. Bam, slam the phone down. I get one of the head of the Naval War College people on who openly calls and says our military works for foreign banks and world government. And I set him up for an interview, but then he figured out who I was. He thought he was coming on Alex S. Jones' radio show. And I called him up when they couldn't get him on the line. My producers couldn't. And he said, I'm not coming on your show during the 3-minute break. He said, no, I will not gratify you. And I said, but you're calling for world government. He goes, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. And I said, no, you're going to lose. And he went, never, never, and hung up. He didn't say I was a liar. Well, Thomas Barnett, he just said, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. We control reality now. So what the globalists do is they put a lie out to the reporters, to corporate leaders, and they say, look, suspend all moral judgment, suspend critical thinking, cover anything we want, lie, just be our servant, we might give you some chicken feed, And anyone that comes forward with an argument, a moral argument, or someone who stands up and says, I want to be free, I don't want to go under your tyrannical system, they then just laugh at you and say, you don't have a stake in reality. We control reality. We're God. And that's what this power trip stems from. And going back into David Rockefeller's memoirs, published 2002, we already last hour read the quote where he admitted, yes, he wants global government, that yes, the populists, you know, are a bunch of conspiracy theorists, but basically they're right, but he's going to defeat them. Aaron, go over some of that.
Yeah, that whole book is very tongue-in-cheek because he opens with kind of mocking the little people who are against the world government, the so-called populists and so forth. But then he breaks down his little personal accounts of the Council on Foreign Relations, of the Bilderberg Group, and of some of the other groups.
But wait, they say that doesn't exist. But oh, he's allowed to talk about it because he's for it. He controls reality. Sometimes it exists, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's totally
true. This is their philosophy, folks.
And notice here how he mocks people but still admits Bilderberg exists. If the Council on Foreign Relations raises the hackles of conspiracy theorists, the Bilderberg meetings must induce apocalyptic visions of omnipotent international bankers plotting with unscrupulous government officials to impose cunning schemes on an ignorant and unsuspecting world. See how tongue-in-cheek that is.
Because he's telling you what he's doing.
Yeah. But
we've got internal quotes that have been confirmed where he says things like that.
It would have been impossible to do this if the media hadn't worked with us. We want to thank the Washington Times, the Washington Post, the New York Times. He didn't say Washington Times. Go ahead.
He's playing upon our ignorance, and I'm sure he's familiar with all the denial about these kind of groups going on. But deeper into this chapter, you know, there's this perception that Bilderberg are kind of untouchable people. They're such lofty bankers and militarists and so forth that they can't be touched. But then he explains how in 1976 the group had to shut down for a year, how its founder, Prince Bernhard, nearly had to step down from the council and, you know, almost was in criminal trouble. You know, I don't know if that all would have happened if he would have actually gone to prison. But reading from David Rockefeller, in 1976, Bilderberg faced a scandal that almost resulted in its collapse. That's David Rockefeller admitting it. Early that year in testimony before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, it was alleged that Prince Bernhard had approached the Lockheed Corporation with an offer to use his official position to influence Dutch defense procurements policies in exchange for significant financial consideration. As the year wore on, evidence against Bernhard accumulated, including indications that he had met with intermediaries during Bilderberg events. They always claim they don't set any policy there, that they don't even discuss policy. And here they are admitting that Prince Bernhard was carrying on part of this Lockheed Martin scheme.
Yeah, Obama and Hillary in 2008 show up at the secret meeting. We're there, telling the media they're there. The media is all looking for him, but says, we're not going to go look there. And they decide that Hillary's going to step down at that meeting.
Yeah, and we know from all the things Tucker brings out that later become true that there's definitely very important stuff going on at the meeting. But Rockefeller goes on to explain how in 76 the conference was canceled and it appeared for a time Bilderberg was finished. Now, of course, they would have continued under some other name, but the point is they aren't beyond the reach of accountability, of public scrutiny, and all these populists who've been criticizing them, that does bear a pressure on them. And, of course, Prince Bernhard was not only a Nazi SS officer, he also worked with the London RAF during World War II, so he's playing both sides while he was sitting on the IG Farben council or board or what have you. He was also one of the founders of the World Wildlife Fund, along with the eugenicist Prince Philip and the eugenicist Julian Huxley.
And was caught smuggling elephant tusk out. They run the wildlife ops so they can get the goods themselves.
And it plays into Agenda 21, of course, as well. So that's just.
And they use those wildlife preserves, this has now been declassified, as military bases to set up rebels to overthrow countries.
Yeah. It just shows you just a small indicator of how deep Prince Bernhard's influence goes. But yet he was not beyond the reach of these.
And his daughter today, the Queen of the Netherlands, is the unofficial head above the puppet head of Bilderberg.
Yeah. And of course, he was the founder, along with Joseph Redinger, who more or less kind of entrusted him with the idea to form the group.
Yeah. Viscount Etienne Davignon is the current head.
Yeah. And as we know, Bilderberg did more than just talk. They set up the European Union by stealth and, you know.
They brag about that. But again, that's no big deal. They don't have any power. What do you think about the bizarre Karl Rove statement? That really says it all about how they control reality.
It's evil, but it's deep. You know, it's a mix of the Emperor Wears No Clothes and kind of the Matrix. Like, your reality will be what we dictate to you. And it's kind of mind-boggling.
And these reporters, they just love it. They feel like they've joined the power. And so they just dive in. Oh, reality means nothing. I'm part of the power. Oh. And then you watch society being destroyed because the globalists are such sadomasochistic, murdering scumbags. And we have all the proof of their lust for death and destruction. You people sold your souls cheaply, didn't you? Now I'm taking calls and hitting some other key news in the last half hour of this worldwide transmission. Kyle, Richard, Blue Star, Alex, Bruce, we're going to get to all of you and more. Briefly, we carry the best books, the best videos, not just the films and books that I've written, but other films and books that I believe are extremely informative. You get tools that will further enlighten and inform you that you can then pass forward to friends and family or have public viewings or private viewings. It's all about getting the information out, and it's all about the info warriors, the people that are awake worldwide, taking action and exposing the globalist and the false reality they've tried to basically set up, and the yuppies and other servants that have been taught it's trendy to be conned. It's trendy to not know what's going on. They're finally getting hurt bad enough by the New World Order that a lot of them are waking up. But then they're being led off by neocons and fake liberals and other globalist foundation-controlled minions. Now, we're almost out of this book, and then it's going to be out of print for a while he reprints. We've only got a very few copies left of Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. We sold out last week, just got a few hundred more in, and then that's it. Joel is out. Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, third edition. Excellent information to think about security. Very well written. The new book, only available at Infowars.com. Big Brother, Their Orwellian Nightmare Come True, by Mark Dice, getting into how the Big Brother system is here, the surveillance, the spying, the control grid. Excellent new book. We've also got a Big Brother t-shirt we designed that you can get discounted when you get it with the book or alone, available at Infowars.com. A great discussion piece. What's that shirt mean? Well, it's this. It's got Infowars.com on it. You'll meet like-minded people. We are just about ready to be able to ship these out because it officially comes out in just a few days. We, of course, have had these for a month sitting on them, but now they're going out. In fact, started today. New York Times bestselling author Jesse Ventura with Dick Russell. 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. Very easy read, full of documents, full of photos, full of information. This is my favorite type of book, a great coffee table book, a great gift to give people just to give them a primer on how they're being lied to. But it's also very sophisticated, but at the same time, a very easy read. There's the stand down where Cheney ordered the stand down on 9/11. Chairman John Chiefs of Staff under Cheney's directive. I mean, just look at these documents. This book, I think, each one gets better as he gets more informed and does more research and works with the great researcher Dick Russell. Jesse Ventura, 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. When you buy it from us, you support everything we're doing. Also, What in the World Are They Spraying? Excellent film dealing with chemtrails. And I just had another mainstream news article they gave me where the government is admitting that contrails warm the world more than aviation emissions. And it turns out most of these so-called contrails are having barium salts, aluminum dioxide added into the jet fuel. And so it's being dispersed out and causing nuclei. But Holdren's public program, John P. Holdren, he says they're doing test chemtrailing to cool the Earth, but all the meteorologists we've had on and astrophysicists and others have pointed out this will heat the Earth, not cool it. And there it is out of the New Scientist. But that's What in the World Are They Spraying? Again, it's how they control reality. They put uranium and radium and other things in our water, mined out of limestone, mixed in with sodium fluoride. They call it sodium fluoride. It comes out in the news. They're doing it all over the country. But there's no debate, no discussion, no question. Why are they doing it? No discussion of taking it out of the water. Just, okay, we're doing this to you. Yeah, we covered it up. Yeah, people went public inside the water districts. So what? We're going to keep doing it. See, I mean, it's just, it'd be like body snatcher green aliens running around in the street, sucking people's brains out, and the news saying they're friendly visitors, they're nice, they want to help you. If you see a green alien running down the street, pull over. They have a large straw. Help them stick it in your brain and suck your brain. Now, of course, I'm being sarcastic. Glenn Beck will probably take that out of context and say that I'm believing green aliens sucking your brain. It's as crazy as green aliens sucking your brain, and the media is saying it's normal and good. To go, yeah, we're doing some chemtrailing, but don't worry about it. Yeah, we're putting uranium in your water. No big deal. Yeah, we're taking the veterans' death benefits. It's in the news, but so what? Nobody's going to get in trouble. Yeah, the government's running giant child kidnapping rings. Comes out in the news, comes out in congressional hearings. Nobody gets in trouble. Rumsfeld says they're allowed to do it. Because he controls reality. Because you let the con artists run wild and have them play this game of, I'm in a suit and I'm an old, distinguished-looking old man. Sit down and shut up. What did people booing Cheney at CPAC do? He just said, now shut up. And the minions laughed. Shut up. I'm the boss. I do whatever I want. There's nothing you can do to me. I'm all powerful. Let me tell you, how did I sneak into Bohemian Grove? Well, I snuck around past the checkpoints into the parking lot through a swamp. And then once I got in, I just strutted around. That's what the globalists do. The average little people, when they go up to pay with a credit card, they get all nervous it might not go through. Or when they go up to get a hotel thing, I've seen people I've traveled with, they get kind of nervous and the people ask questions and act weird. I just walk up, I'm polite, and I'm totally confident. And then instant service, red carpets. Oh, you're confident. Here, everything's yours. But see, the globalist, it's the same thing with women. A lot of guys try to act confident, okay? And women pick up on that and they really don't like it. Some women like kind of the goofy, cute, real guy who isn't confident over a fake guy who acts confident. But on average, women like really confident men. I mean, you're confident, and I'm not saying it's a good lifestyle or whatever, but you take the girl out on a couple dates, and you're just point blank, baby, I think you're just unbelievably gorgeous. Let's rock and roll. Boom. But you're all hesitant about it. Ain't going to happen. And I'm not trying to get into that. The point is that it's an analogy on life. The globalists just take that to the thousandth degree and just, hey, uranium's good. We're blowing everybody up. It's peace. It's not a war. And the banks are stealing everything. What are you going to do about it? All right, I said I'd go to your calls, and I said I'd plug these videos, but I went off into a rampage. The point is, get the books and videos at InfoWars.com. You vote with your dollar supporting us. Plus, and most importantly, you get a powerful tool to wake folks up. All this talk about world government, UN, all this stuff, Endgame, still the preeminent film, available at InfoWars.com. Police State 4, the rise of FEMA for the total martial law takeover enemy program. Every police department should see this, because then they'll realize how they're being covertly federalized incrementally. Everybody needs this. Everybody in InfraGuard needs it. Your pastors need it. Chances are they're already on government payroll secretly. This will wake them up. That's why when you try to give it to them, they'll be like, oh, whoa, I don't want terrorist stuff. Yeah, I know about Alex Jones. Whoa, whoa. That's why they send out memos to them. Don't watch it. We're reading your email, pastor. You're part of our secret team now, but don't watch Alex Jones. A lot of police chiefs try to give them this. They're like, oh, whoa, whoa, that's like a deadly, venomous cobra. No, not the video. Oh, please, not that. Oh, my, I've heard about him. Remember all those internal memos they give the police? Don't watch Alex Jones. He's really evil. He's really manipulative. He'll actually read our quotes. He'll actually show us saying it. Oh, don't watch him. He'll show you internal FEMA training manuals saying the founding fathers are bad. Actual video. I'm nobody. Folks, I got the truth. I got history. I'm not bamboozled by these people. I can see them. They live. I got the sunglasses. And what does Rowdy Piper got to do to his buddy? He's got to beat him up to get him to put him on. He's like, put these on. The guy's like, I'm not putting them on. That's an allegory of the general public. And Piper's like, all right, it's going down right now. You're putting them on. That's what I do. I don't come up and apologize to people this information. I know it sounds kooky, but there's a world government. I'm like, listen, there's an emergency situation. History's repeating itself. Global private corporations have taken over the planet. They want a one-child policy. They've already taken over the planet, so they feel like you're rats or cockroaches eating their grain. They want you out of the way. They're setting up a planetary control grid as a means to an end. Do you understand? Here's the information. You've been warned. Ah! And lastly, Invisible Empire, directed by Jason Burmes. Excellent film, The New World Order Defined. Covers the whole spectrum of the history of the New World Order. Very important film, InfoWars.com. Or 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. Or you can write to us, P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Tejas, 78760. Okay, let's go to Kyle in Iowa. You're on the air, evil person who... Wait, let me get the exact Karl Rove quote. Where did my... New York Times Magazine, Karl Rove thing. because I want to announce for the rest of the day these callers as what Karl Rove called in what we call the reality-based community. You guys ever find my Drudge quote he used off his Twitter? Well, just Alex Jones quote, for those of us living in reality, there is no rest. There's no rest for those of us living in the reality. I want to get the exact quote. I don't think that's it. But that's the counter to Karl Rove. We live in reality. And he says, in what we call the reality-based community. So let's talk to somebody in the reality-based community, or he may disagree with reality. Kyle in Iowa, what community are you in? The deception, believe the lie, gullible, giggle reality of the slaves? Or do you believe in reality?
I choose both. Alex, I got some hardcore reality for you. I don't know if you heard about this, but there was recently a quote-unquote canceled martial law drill again here in Iowa, and it was due to them claiming that patriots were death-threatening a school because they're running some martial law drill to go round up a white supremacist who was against illegal immigration.
Yeah, I know. They've had those all over the country where they say, you know, the group in camouflage, cops under federal grants come in and say, we're groups against public schools for homeschooling. We're going to kill you. And the little kids cry and they do a horrible crime against them, but do it in plain view and say, we control reality. And then they have other drills where it's a white supremacist against open borders, meaning if you're against open borders, you're a white supremacist. And then of 2 years ago, it's in the new Police State 4 Rise of FEMA. We have the colonel on. It was in the newspaper. Yeah, we're going to practice confiscating guns around the town. We're going to do it and practice arresting the gun shop owners. Then I got him on, and the colonel said, well, yeah, we were going to do that drill, but it's not very nice how you say it's for America. This was for overseas. I said, Colonel, I've been to the drills, the role players, and the citizens you hire at these. It's for America. And then they go, well, it's for America with the role players, but not really for America. And I'm like, oh, was New Orleans for America? Taking the guns there? And he goes, well, I don't want to discuss that, eh, boy. See, because they're all about psych warfare. And he's like, wow, this guy... He tries this Obi-Wan Kenobi thing on me, as these aren't the droids you're looking for. And I go, yeah, these are the droids I'm looking for. I'm not moving along here, pal. Get out of the car, because I'm a defender of the Republic. I'm the real cop. I'm the real sheriff in town. And so is every other sovereign American. So I know what you are. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Give me a news headline. I remember seeing an AP, but that may have been another one where they were doing the anti-immigration attack on the school and then teaching the kids. Now, it's not that the cops came in and terrorized your little kids unannounced. That's not a crime. The crime is we had to do it because the pro-gun group is the terrorist in the drill. And the parents are all like, those dirty gun owners, those dirty... See how simple and mentally ill that psych warfare system is? But then you've got to admit that the authority figure is wrong. So the average person goes, okay, it is good you terrorize my seven-year-old. Thank you. It's kind of like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't have an article in front of me because I'm on the road right now, but it just happened. It was just in the Des Moines Register. And basically they said that people are calling in saying, if you run this drill, we're actually going to come in and make this, you know, we're actually going to come in and shoot the place up for real. And they just, in the article, they just made
Yeah, that's just
like,
the feds probably merging it with their own program and actually calling that in themselves, because they like to start in these giant re-education camp drills. The whole country's been being turned into one to then add reality to then cause even more hysteria.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me. It just, the thing that blew my mind, and it didn't surprise me at the same time, was the fact that they're just like, someone actually death threatened you. I had a friend in high school who called in a bomb threat just to, you know, because he wanted to get out of a test. And this was before 9/11. This was like 1997 or something, you know, and he was just some stupid kid. But, you know, he's a felon because of that. And he's really a harmless, you know, do-nothing type of guy, you know.
He probably should be. She should have a record for that, because that can really cause a lot of problems. I appreciate your call, but good to hear from you, Kyle. You know, sometimes I'm out in public, and I got to go somewhere, but I was gassing up my car a few days ago, and a guy came over and said, Alex, I want to thank you for everything. He goes back in, gets something, he's coming back out. And I said, hey, come here and talk to me. How long have you been a listener? And he looked like a former military type guy. And he was there with one of his friends. They were, you know, working, he said. And I said, how'd you start listening? He goes, well, listen, years ago. And then I went in the Army. Should have been listening about 10 years. I went in the Army, and then I got out, and I've got all these, you know, disabilities and things, you know, from the war. And he said, then I started smoking marijuana, and I got caught with a little bit of it, and I fought it because it was medical marijuana, and I had my medical marijuana card. And he said they put me in jail for 2 years. And he said, but they were releasing carjackers and all these other criminals after months. And see, but that's true. You look at the statistics. You get caught with some marijuana in places like Texas, a lot of times they throw the book at you. He's a veteran, now a felon. 2 years in jail. He was, I think, 70-something days in the county jail before he went to prison fighting it. Because he fought it, they just kept him in jail. Because he's a good worker. See, he'll make nice license plates and nice furniture. He'll do a good job for him. Sir, I really appreciate your call. Send me some info on that Iowa situation. I remember reading about it, but I forget the headline. Richard in Canada, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how you doing? I just watched your film, Fall of the Republic, again. It's very good, well, very well done. I would pat you on the back for that. I noticed that you have on there you're going to do a eugenics film. I was just wondering if you're still planning on doing that, because I love your movies, man. I want to see another one.
Yeah, here's the problem. I do multiple radio interviews every day. I'm running everything here in the office. I got a bunch of new projects we're doing. And I am doing multiple TV interviews today. And I kind of was behind the scenes on... and it kind of got me out of my rhythm of always churning one out every 6 months, because I kind of oversaw Burmese's thing, and it took about a year longer than it was supposed to. We did a great job, just we took longer because I wasn't honchoing it. And then I kind of halfway honchoed Police State 4. I didn't really make those films. You know, Burmese directed one. I kind of quasi helped on it. You know, and my editors were taken away from the editors we hired for him, and they did it, Aaron and Jacobson. And then I just kind of got out of my rhythm. And I've kind of gotten into actually seeing my children about 2 hours a day, an hour in the morning, an hour or two at night. And so just started seeing my children. I mean, there were whole years where I might just see them on one day on the weekend and a little bit on Sunday. And I don't know how long I'm going to be alive. And so I just, the magicness of being with my children, I just dream about quitting every day. I don't want the acclaim, the renowned. I don't want all this attention, but it's a mission, and I go deeper into danger every day, and I'm just totally sick of everything, and my understanding expanding so fast I can hardly even explain the information. I've got like 3 films I started and never finished. I'm just all over the map, so we've shifted into a system of all these dozens of incredible interviews we've gotten flying around the country and putting those out with some documentation as kind of, you know, presentation films on PrisonPlanet.tv, and they're being seen by millions in the aggregate, so we're still having the same effect on that front. But the films are so time intensive because I sit over every edit, every document, every voiceover, that when I make a film for months and months and months, I am up here till 2 in the morning with big black circles around my eyes, eating pizza and then becoming slovenly. And so I would certainly hope, Richard, to be able to get more of that done for you. Blue Star, Alex, Bruce, Justin, and others, your call straight ahead. Stay with us. Every minute, folks, I want to run to the South Pacific. Every minute, I want to punch out of here.
Way up north,
up to Alaska.
Way up
north, up to Alaska.
North to Alaska. To go north, the rest is on. North.
The guys didn't find my short quote that Drudge ran with. It's, there is no rest when you are involved in reality. Alex Jones, Austin, Texas, 2-20-11. Does Urgent Radio 6 days a week. Web DVDs. Okay, let's go ahead now and go to Blue Star in Canada. Blue Star, you're on the air.
Alex, thanks for taking my call. I've got an amazing story that you might want to have this gentleman on your show, but it's got several points of interest for anybody that's going through foreclosure. About 3 weeks ago, I did an interview with Rico Giron. He was running for sheriff in New Mexico, and he has sued the IRS on racketeering charges and won. The main point right now where he's at is that he paid his mortgage in full. The mortgage company gave it to a lawyer, which there was no lawyer's judgment. He has now told the local sheriff that he is not going to leave his property alive, standing up for his and our constitutional rights. If you want to do a little bit more research on him, his site is RicoForSheriff.com. BlueStarVoice.com.
All right, we'll check it out, Blue Star. Very interesting. More and more people are drawing their line in the sand. Thank you for that information. And that's what the globalists can't stand. Alex in Arizona, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Jones. Thank you for this is a chance to speak to the world of InfoWarriors. I just want to say, see something, say something. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's completely exploiting one of the most observable errors in social psychology called the fundamental attribution error, where you overestimate situational attributes to be applying to the personality. It's just...
Well, it's saying the public are the terrorists. It's saying don't trust anyone but the government.
Yes. Exactly. You see, like, if somebody pulls out in front of you, you say, oh, that man must be a bad driver. Well, no, that man's two-year-old just drank chlorine, and he's rushing into the hospital. You can't make these assumptions on people.
It's just, well, it's like the realtors. Every week I see articles where they see guns in a house and call the police where guns are legal because they don't live in reality. They watch dramas based in New York where you're not allowed to own guns, or Chicago, and they think that, or they see reloading equipment and think it's bombs because it's advertised that it's like winning the lottery to find a terrorist. So it's a false reality they've been given.
Yeah, exactly. I'm waiting. I'm just waiting to get pulled over for my Ruger Pride with an American flag sticker on my car. The second thing I want to say, kind of unrelated, but I don't know if you've ever heard of a SQUID. It's called SQUID, Superconducting Quantum Interference Device. It essentially measures very minute magnets or gravitational, magnetic field. And I had a researcher teacher who was able to figure out that when you have two people in a room, and one person is on the other side of the room, this machine can measure the other person's heartbeat inside yourself from across the room because it has an electrical field through the heartbeat. Just going to show that reality isn't what it seems. We are so...
Well, no, I remember 8 years ago at four test airports, including Boston Logan, CBS reported they put passive MRIs that scan your brain waves from a distance. And now they've announced they're going to start rolling these out on the streets. And then that's quackery. They just say, well, it shows you're a terrorist. The brainwave, bye-bye. They've already disproven the old quackery of the lie detector test, sending hundreds of thousands of innocents to prison, some to the lethal injection, gas chamber, electric chair. And so now they just go, we have newfangled equipment, or we train our TSA people to be able to tell by your eye movements and your facial expressions if you're a terrorist. And then these guys just constantly freaking out, thinking they're Superman. It's all just made up.
Yeah, as a psychologist myself, it makes me sick.
Well, your point about how they say, a man speeding, a lot of cops now pull somebody over, their dog's dying, their wife's dying. They'll go ahead and arrest him anyways and say, I'm calling for an ambulance. And the wife's dying of a heart attack. The dog's dying. There's been a lot of famous cases. And they get off in the jury trial. And the cop's already mad that they were speeding. So the cop's got to be right. And citizens, too. Look at him speeding. Meanwhile, his wife's next to him dying in the car. Or the husband is. Retransmission starts now. InfoWars.com.